if you would, turn to Luke chapter 22 before we partake of the Lord's table. I want us to look at Luke chapter 22, and it's Luke's rendition of the Last Supper, or where Jesus will institute. It's actually the Passover meal where he'll institute the first Lord's Supper that we'll be partaking of here in just a few moments, and just to reflect back on what God has done and what Christ has done. And so the title of this message this morning is, Oh, How He Loves Us. A David Crowder song, if you know David Crowder and that. Oh, how he loves us. And so when we look at Luke chapter 22, we see that this is the final curtain call. This is Jesus is headed towards the cross before the evening will be finished. The next evening he will be crucified. It's all the culmination of why he's here and why he has come. We see that at the first part of Luke chapter 22 that the devil had already entered Judas. And so Judas had already made the plan of when he's going to betray the Lord Jesus, his friend. He's going to make this betrayal. And so we'll keep that in mind as we start and we'll begin, because we'll see this sense of secrecy that's going on, and we'll talk about that as we get to Luke 22. And so we see this heightened sense of security that they need, but also this Jesus desiring to spend time with his friends. I want you to think about that this morning before we partake, that if this was your last night on earth and you knew it, you knew that before the evening of the next evening that you would be crucified, what would you be doing? How would you spend that time? I want you to see his great love for them and how he loved them. I want you to see when we see this that Jesus is in control of everything. Everything. You say, sometimes when we look at our news, we wonder, we scratch our head. And how many of us have said, I just can't imagine children growing up in this generation? How many of us is guilty of saying that, or we've heard that said? And yet, I want you to know that he is in control of everything. And when we see these scripture, that he's in control of this final curtain call, that where it was leading him and his plan and his purpose and why he came. And so the darkness never overcomes the light. Can I hear an amen? The gospel will never be drowned or extinguished out in this world. The gospel will always go forth. Why? So that it can save those like you and I. So that it can touch our life in the midst of this darkness. And so we'll see this Passover that being planned, and I want us to look at it and how he partakes of it before we partake of the Lord's Supper and the institution, and just a few minutes of looking what death and how Jesus spends his time and how he loved them and how he loves us this morning. I want that to be the focus before we partake of the ordinance, one of the two ordinances that we recognize in the church, and that's baptism and the Lord's Supper. And here we are on September, last Sunday in September, recognizing and doing this again in remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. So let's look at Luke chapter 22, if you would. Take your reading, take your scripture in your hand if you've got it. If you've got it on phone, however you have it, I want you to take it in your hand and stand to your feet, and let's reverence the reading of God's Word. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 7. It says, Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. So they said to him, Where do you want us to prepare it? So they said, he said to them, Behold, when you have entered a city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into a house which he has entered. Then you shall say to the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready. So they went, and they found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared a Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "This, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Let's pray. Father, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray for a few moments that you will show us how much you loved us, that we will partake of this Lord's Supper today in a worthily manner, that we'll examine ourselves, that we'll prepare, that we'll take it, and we'll do it in remembrance of what you have done, because we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. First, for just a few minutes, look at the intensity of his love, verses 17 through 15. It says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed." I want us to understand that the Passover meal that all Jews, we know from Deuteronomy, that God said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you always to remember this day." And the Passover was all about their deliverance out of Egypt, when they came out of bondage. We know about the 10 plagues. I hope we know all these things. When Moses sent the 10 plagues, God used Moses, sent the 10 plagues. The last plague would be the killing of the firstborn of all of the Egypt. Every household of Egypt, and God said, "The only way that this passes over you, this death angel, is you put the blood of the lamb over the door, over the doorpost." And so we know when that plague came, that those that had put the blood over the door, that they was passed over, and all Egypt said there was not a person, not a family in Egypt that was not mourning because of the death that had come. We know that they packed up and they left, and God delivered them out of Egypt. And he said, "I want you to remember this all the time." And so they had this Passover meal every year so they could do it in remembrance of what God had done and the deliverance they'd had. This is a special night because Jesus is getting ready to change everything. It will never be the same after this moment in Luke 22 and in the other Gospels. Why? He's bringing in a new institution that we'll actually be partaking of this morning. How important. How many people do you know, how many things do you know that last for 2,018 years? Come on. And yet this morning, you will be connected to the past, and yet it'll be so relevant in the present, and you can look forward to it in the future. Oh, how he loves us. And so we see that he, what did he do? He sends Peter and John, and he says to them, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat." So they said to him, and what was their main concern? Where are we going to prepare? Why would they say such a thing? Well, guess what? Jesus and his disciples, they didn't have this place that they went to. They didn't have this nice place that we call South Fork Baptist Church that we can come and meet, and how great that was. They didn't even have a home. In fact, we know that when the rich young ruler comes right to Jesus, he says, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has what? No place to lay his head." Most of the time they slept outside in the cool, whatever the weather was. And so their main concern was, where are we going to prepare this Passover at? I like this. Please don't miss it. And he said, and then Jesus looked. And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he has entered. Then you may say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large room furnished with an upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I want you to see that intensity of his love. They were worried about where it was. Jesus had it all laid out. Can you imagine? Look, you ask, "Where are we going to eat this?" Jesus said, "This is what it looks like." Boom. And he's all been like, wow. He had that covered, didn't he? Do you understand? Everything was happened just as he had planned from eternity past. It was planned for God, and how it was going to be that Christ would be betrayed, how it was going to be that his Last Supper would be prepared, how it was going to be who he would spend it with. And guess what? Even that on this September, last Sunday in September, that we would be preaching this message in 2019. That's the God we serve. Nothing takes him by surprise. I love that I can see that. What an answer. Okay, let's go. How about the man carrying the jar? Why? He's like, go into the city and catch the man carrying a jar of water. Now you say, well, wouldn't that just be a regular occurrence? How in the world are they going to find a man carrying a jar? I want you to know in that culture that was a rare occurrence. Why? The ladies carried the water. Okay? And so when they saw a guy carrying this jar, it would be something out of the ordinary. But let's talk about him for just a second. You ever feel insignificant? You ever feel like nobody knows your name? How about just the man carrying a jar of water? How important was that to God? Well, here we are 2019 years later talking about this guy that was carrying that jar of water. Are we not? It was pretty significant, was it not, in God's plan? How about, let's go on to the master of the house. That's all his name. No name there. Man carried a jar of water, master of the house. There's nothing insignificant when it comes to doing what God has commanded us to do. The purpose and plan that God has for our life is just as important, one from the other. We're all equal in God's eyes. Aren't you glad? When the world tells you nobody knows your name, there's one that knows your name. There's one that knows you. There's one that knows your heart here this morning. There's one that knows whether you have a relationship with him. And I want you to know something. He desires to have that relationship with you. He loves you this morning. It's not some religion. It's not something that somebody's made up. It's real and relevant, as you can see and will partake of this morning. God cares about you. Even when you might feel insignificant, you are significant to God. Same thing, God. Jesus says, go, and you know what they say, where? And I like, don't miss verse 13. What does it say? And so they went, and they found it just as he had said to them. Booyah! Imagine that. Jesus said it, and there it is. Recorded right here in history, historic pages of the Scripture. Jesus said it, and it was just like he said. John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for who? You! He said, if I go, then I'm going to come back, and you're going to be where I am. I want you to get a hold of that. If he says it, you can bank on it. You can count on it. The promises of God right here. He told them where they went. I love that. Don't miss verse 13. Just as profound as all. They found it just the way that he said. And what did they do? They prepared to pass over. And why was it so secret? Why did it seem like it was in such secrecy that he didn't really have the name of the man? He didn't have the name of the house of the man to go to. Why? Because Judas is looking forward. He's looking for the place to betray him. Jesus knows exactly where he's going to betray him at, but he's making sure that the devil don't try to thwart anything that God's planned. And he can't, by the way. And so he keeps it kind of masked because guess what? We see that Judas will be sitting down with him. Oh, how he loves us. He even loves those that would betray him. Jesus says, and he says to us this morning, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever will open that door to me and believe in me, I will come in and I will sup with him. I will have that relationship. I will eat with you. I will establish my relationship with you. Do you understand? He knocks at the door of your heart this morning. How many times are you going to sit and listen to it as he knocks? And the more that you listen and the
more that you put it off, it seems like the knocking gets a little quieter. Jesus is looking to save somebody this morning. Why? That's what he's in the business of, saving and touching lives. How long will we put it off and scratch our head? Whoever hears my voice, he says, and opens it and believes, I'll come in and sup with you. In other words, I'll have my relationship with you. It's not going through the motions, by the way. It's not going to church. It's not some traditionalism or reading my Bible just to be reading my Bible. No, it's a big difference when we understand the intensity of his love today. And that he died for you. And he died for me. That's the intensity of love. But don't miss out the rest of it. Love's instruction. Look at 16 through 23. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was, has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then they begin to question among themselves which of them it was who would do such a thing. The Passover, we know, we already talked about what it was all about. What was it about? Being under the blood. Being under the blood of that lamb, that sacrificial lamb, that so the death angel passed over. And Jesus says, he says in verse 15, with fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you, is actually what it means in the Greek there. With fervent desire, I desire. Why? Verse 16 says, why? I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled into the kingdom of God. All that was anticipated in the Passover meal was pointing to this moment, to Jesus. All of history, all of the Old Testament, we've learned this in Hebrews as we've been studying through it the last few Sundays. Listen, that everything that went on in the old is pointing to the new, and there's a new covenant on the way. There would be a Passover lamb that would be slaughtered the next night, that whoever with the blood supplied to their life, that the death angel would pass over. Come on. It's no longer Egypt that we're to be delivered from, but it's from the sin of ourselves and the fallenness of this world. This whole idea of Passover, he's getting them ready to show that the Passover lamb, and that Passover lamb signaled the departure or the exodus that the children of Israel would take from Egypt. It would be the deliverance from Egypt. I want you to know that when we partake of this today and this morning, when we partake of the juice and the bread, we are to remember of our deliverance from sin and what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. We remember that. Do this in remembrance of me, he said. The Passover meal had multiple cups, and we see that come out in Luke. After this night, there would only be one that we'll partake of this morning. Only one. Verse 19, he talks about that bread that actually in the Passover meal, it was the bread of affliction because they had been the affliction that they had received as slaves in Egypt, and how this bread of affliction, they were reminded of what Egypt was and what it meant in their life. And he said to them, he was reminding them, my body which is given for you. Sacrificial atonement. Jesus said he's our substitute. Listen to me. I can't put it any more plainer than this. Christ came to die for your sin. For just a moment, put all your human intellect aside as far as saying, well, this and trying to figure out that. Listen to what the Holy Spirit said, and it's completely logical. We're born in sin. Without Christ, we're hopeless. Look at our world today. See your news. See everything.
everything and what man is striving for. That is a world without Christ, without the peace of God in their life. That's what it looks like. Christ came to die and to be a substitutionary death on the cross for your and my sin. If we accept that substitute, if we accept that payment for our sin, it says He will come into our lives. He will save us from the sin that so easily besets us, and He will give us eternal life and the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but I can't stress that enough. Why? Because I know what it is to live without Christ. I know what it is to be lost for 28 years without Him. And I know what it is when He comes in and He changes a person's life. This is not some self-help thing that I thought, I need to be a better person. I need to start doing this. No, I couldn't. But what Jesus did is He changed me. And my whole life is, I want, if somebody is looking and searching for that, if I can just tell them about what Jesus can do for you. And that's what He's speaking of here. It's no longer the Passover lamb, but He's going to be the Passover lamb. The bread of affliction will become His body that's going to be broken for them. He's doing it for them. I love it. It's a major intervention right here of the Passover meal. It's getting ready to change over into the Lord's Supper. He's saying, I myself will be the Passover bread. That's what He's telling them. He would be the substitute. And then verse 20, which is actually the third cup of the Passover, He said, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. You know what He's saying? I'm the Passover lamb, and I'm the Passover, or bread, I'm the Passover lamb. I'm both of these things. He said, this was all done pointing in the true lamb, that would, Lamb of God, that would take away the sins of the world. They had been looking back to remember Egypt and God's deliverance. Now they would see that what He was about. He was about coming and taking away the sins of His people. What all those sacrifices couldn't do, Christ did. And He makes this statement, I will not drink it until we drink it in the kingdom of God. The Passover was leading to something far greater. What was it? The new covenant. Come on. We live in the new covenant. That's why we're going to partake this morning. That's why we're getting ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. The focus is not on the juice and the bread, but it's on the symbols that represent Jesus Himself. Do you understand? A little wafer, a little cup of juice, it symbolizes what Christ has done for us and for you. That's why we partake. Oh, how He loves us. We will examine ourselves. Deacons, if you would, come forward and prepare. Get ready to give. But I want you to listen. It says that we need to examine ourselves. Why is that? Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 11:27. Says right here, verse 27. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That's the magnitude of what we're getting ready to do. How do I partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? If you're lost, do not partake. Oh, but you can be saved, my friend. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I realize through the Holy Spirit that I'm lost this morning. And I receive You as my personal Savior. I receive that payment for my sin today. And you know what? Instantly, we become a child of God. Don't partake if you're lost. If you've got sin in your life, known sin, you're living in sin, do not partake. Why does it say? It says, for this reason, many are sick and many sleep. You got sin, you better confess it.
partake in a worthy manner. Let's bow our eyes before the Lord. Only you and God, nobody else. Are you ready to partake of the Lord's Supper? Has God spoken to a heart this morning that would say, you know what? I need Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just want to receive you into my life. I have never received you. I've never prayed a prayer and asked you to forgive me. I'm asking you to forgive me right now, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you to forgive me my sin. Come into my life and live for me and through me. If you prayed that prayer, would you be willing before the Lord to raise your hand and say, I prayed that prayer for the first time? Anybody? And the rest of you, you ask the Lord, God, is there sin in my life? Is there this sin or that sin that I'm dealing with that I'm trying to cover up? Or, God, I ask you, forgive me. Let me partake of this communion, this Lord's Supper today in a worthy manner. God, I thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name.
Promises a thousand times. I've tried to hear from heaven, but I talk the whole time. I think I made you too small. I never feared you at all. No. If you touch my face, would I know you? Looked into my eyes, could I behold you? So what do I know of you? Who spoke me into motion? Where have I even stood? On the shore, along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? So what do I know? What do I know of holy? I guess I thought that I had figured you out. I knew all the stories, and I learned to talk about how you were mighty to save. Those were only empty words on a page. Then I caught a glimpse of who you might be. The slightest hint of you brought me down to my knees. So what do I know of you? Are you beautiful? So what do I know?
broke it. He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Promise good to me, and His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are soon dissolve as snow. The sun is forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be
also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the body and the blood that was shed for us. I pray, God, that we remember that which you have done. God, help it to be the motivation for us to live each and every day in the power of Christ that dwells in us. I pray, dear Lord, somebody here doesn't know you, they make it right with you, especially before they leave. Or if they did come to know you as personal Savior, that they'll make it known. I thank you for the great privilege of being with my brothers and sisters in Christ and partaking of this supper together. Lord, I look forward to the day, as your word says, that we take it in heaven with you. But until then, may we take it together, serve together, love together, live together, die together for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.